بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue alhamdulillah with our tawheed class, al-usul al-thalatha class, and this, as you know, is the 35th class, walillah alhamd. And we were talking about several of the ibadat that the author mentions as example, and today's ibadah is inaba, and he says ودليل الإنابة قوله تعالى وأنيبوا إلى ربكم وأسلموا له, as in Surah Az-Zumar. What's inaba? Inaba is continuously turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience and avoiding disobedience of Allah. Continuous obedience and repentance. If you notice from many previous ibadat that we took, for example, like khawf, raja, we took khawf and raja, then we took raghba and rahba. And among the many facts that we mentioned and we stated is basically raghba and rahba are a higher, more special statuses of raja and khawf. Raghba and rahba are higher or special statuses of raja and khawf. Likewise, for example, among the many things that we mentioned about khashya is that it's a higher or a more special form of khawf. Khashya is a higher status of khawf. Now here, inaba means to repent. But not just repent, it's a higher status of repenting. In order for you to understand inaba, the higher status of repenting, you need to understand tawbah. Tawbah is, number one, leaving the sin. Or doing what you're supposed to do and saying astaghfirullah. Leave what you're supposed to leave, and or do what you're supposed to do, and say astaghfirullah. That's in the present. Then number two is you regret the past. Number three, you plan on never doing it again. That's for the future. So repentance is past, present, and future. And the fourth condition is if it pertains to the rights of someone else, you have to return it. If it's money, you have to return it. If it's slander or backbiting, you must apologize. If it causes a bigger, the apology causes a bigger fitna, like for example, someone gossiped or mentioned someone in bad behind his back, most people cannot accept an apology. In fact, it may cause worse circumstances between the two. So in situations like that, one can mention them in their absence in good, just like they mentioned them in bad, in a very similar setting to where they mentioned them bad. Or make dua for them due to their transgression. And if that transgression is in money, you can present the money directly and apologize. Or if it's going to cause a bigger problem, you can present it in, as a gift, or may put it in a mailbox, or if you don't know where that person is, give it as a charity in their name. So those are the four conditions of tawbah. But that's not our topic. That's the definition of tawbah. We need to know what inaba is. The linguistic term of inaba, it contains the meaning of hastening, turning to, and going forth. It contains all that in its linguistic meaning. Returning to someone time and time again is in Arabic called yantabu. If you go and visit them again and again or turn to them again and again, it's yantabu. The Arabs used to say about a woman, anabat al-mar'a. A woman became anabat, anabat al-mar'a. When a woman turned to her husband after she was disobedient to him. So when she continuously turned to her husband in obedience after disobedience, they used to mention that word about the woman back in the pure Arabic language days. Therefore, among the meaning of inaba, the definition of inaba would be the four conditions of tawbah we mentioned plus a fifth pillar or condition, and that is turning to Allah in worship by continuously and constantly renewing the repentance.
turning to Allah, inaba, turning to Allah and worship, by continuously renewing that repentance. That's the additional condition. Therefore, inaba is repentant, but not only that, but it's all doing it repeatedly, over and over, with love, fear, and hope. It's repentant with the extra condition of doing it again and again. So if you repent, and you continuously repent, that means you did inaba. Now, if you do inaba constantly, what does that entail? That means you are steadfast. You're on istiqamah. So inaba entails istiqamah. Inaba entails istiqamah because you continuously repent. Some people repent, but then go back to the sin. Or worse, go to a worse sin. Or some remain just idle after that repentance. Inaba means that you are continuously repentant and turning to Allah. That's the additional meaning in it. And that entails, that means you're an istiqamah. And that's what's meant in the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Verily, those who say our Lord is Allah, and then they stand firm. So, that's also the meaning of the verse in Surah Hud. The verse that gave the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam right here, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكْ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Stand, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firm and straight, and continue in ongoing good and repenting. So, when you continuously do inaba, it entails that you're firm and straight. That means you're an istiqamah. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Stand firm, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firm and straight, as you're commanded, along with your companions who turn into repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in summary, what we're trying to get at is, inaba means to repent. The four conditions of repenting. But it's not also that, but it's also on top of that, you got to continuously repent and turn to Allah in good deeds. And then if you do that, that entails that you're firm and steadfast and straight on the path. And that is istiqamah. Inaba requires also other heart actions. Like for example, it requires also hope, love, and fear. Ibn al-Qayyim declared that the heart actions of worship are intertwined. They require and need each other. He mentioned that. Why? Because for inaba, for example, it requires, in addition to inaba, you can't just have inaba alone. You have to have love, fear, and hope. So they are, the heart actions are intertwined in that they need each other. There's no inaba without love, fear, and hope. So love, fear, and hope are essential to inaba. You must have them to have the ibadah of inaba established. Look at one of the verses that mentions inaba. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وأنيبوا إلى ربكم وأسلموا له من قبل أن يأتيكم العذاب ثم لا تنصرون. Say, O my servants, O my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil sins, despair not the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah forgives all sins. Verily, Allah forgives all sins. He's the oft-forgiven, the most merciful. So the verse starts off with love. Oh, my servants. That's a call of love, to establish love in order for you to love Him. So that establishes the way the call is, Ya Ibadi, that establishes the love part. Number two, the verse says, La taqnatum rahmatillah, despair not the mercy of Allah. That's hope. Number three, the verse says, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابَ. At the end of that, before torment comes to you, repent before torment comes to you, and then you will not be helped. That is the fear part. So you have those three in those verses talking about inaba. So inaba requires love, fear, and hope. And ibadat of the heart, like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, are intertwined. Inaba is such an important ibadah that it's part of establishing your deen. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Set Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam your face towards the religion, the pure Islamic tawheed, hanifa, to worship Allah alone. How do you set your face towards the hanifiyya? Look at the next verse. Munibin, with inaba, munibina ilayh, turning to Allah in repentance. Of course, in English, they translate inaba as repentance. But inaba, like we said, is a higher level there. Turn to Him in repentance, in inaba to Allah. So inaba is essential in establishing your deen on the Hanifiyya. To know how important inaba is, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah considered it half the deen. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, tawakkul is half the deen, and the other half is inaba. Because religion is isti'ana, seeking help and aid from Allah, and ibadah, worship. Tawakkul is the isti'ana part of it. And inaba is the ibadah part of it. So he considered half the deen. What's the relationship between inaba and khashya? You can't have khashya without inaba. Inaba is in reality a fruit of khashya, and it's a sign and indicator of it. هذا ما تعدون لكل أواب حفيظ من خشى الرحمن بالغيب وجاء بقلب منيب. This is what you were promised for those who do inaba. Who are they who do inaba? This is what you promised for those who did inaba, who do inaba. The next verse tells us who do it. Who do inaba? من خشية. Who fear Allah the Most Gracious. من خشية الرحمن. The fear, who those who fear Allah the Most Gracious in the ghayb. Therefore, inaba is in reality a fruit of khashya, and it's an indicator of one having khashya. And khashya is levels, and so is inaba. Khashya is levels, and so is inaba. The more one grows in inaba, in levels, the more his khashya grows. The more his fear of Allah, khashya, will be more. The more he has inaba. The next point we should take is, what's the biggest sign or indicator that one has inaba in their heart? And listen to this verse. It's in the verse, the answer is in the verse. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابَ. Allah sends astray whom He wills, and He guides those who turn to Him in inaba. In inaba, those who turn to Him. Allah said that He guides those who have inaba. But who are those He guides to inaba? Who are those He guides to inaba? The answer is in the next verse. This is the sign of it. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe in the oneness of Allah, the Tawheed, and those whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah. Allah guides those who have inaba. The verse says, Allah guides those who have inaba. Who are they? What's their sign, Ya Allah? It's in the following verse. Those whose hearts find rest and satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah. That's the biggest sign of inaba. Let's move on. What are the levels of inaba? There's levels of it. And there's three main levels of inaba. The first, and they're all in the Quran. The first level of inaba is the inaba from shirk to tawheed. This is the one that takes one from shirk, from kufr to Islam. And it's mentioned in the verse, وَالَّذِينَ اجْتَنَبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهَا وَأَنَابُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ. Those who avoid the taghut, the false deities, by not worshipping them, and turn to Allah in inaba. For them is glad tidings, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ. So announce to them the good news. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ. This level of inaba one must have, otherwise he's not a Muslim. This is the level that brings one to Islam. This is the level that transforms one from kufr to Islam. The second level of inaba is the inaba ab muttaqin. This is the inaba from sin to obedience. One committed a sin, he repented to Allah, he went back to obedience, continuously repents to Allah, that's good. If one doesn't do this, he's considered a transgressor, a sinner. He's a Muslim, not a kafir, but he's a Muslim sinner. And we fear punishment of Allah. We fear the punishment of Allah over him. This inaba is mentioned in the verse, قل يا, the one I just mentioned earlier. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. The third one is, the third level of inaba is the inaba of muhsinin, which we want to seek to strive for. The highest and peak of inaba. This inaba means to constantly turn to Allah in repentance. Constantly. And good deeds. Always finding and seeking ibadah to turn to Allah in. And constantly doing it. The people of this inaba are the ones who worship Allah as if they see Him. This inaba at this level is what's described. Allah described the messengers. Ibrahim. Inna Ibrahim la halimun awwahun munib. Shu'aib. Wa ma tawfiq illa billah alayhi tawakkaltu wa ilayhi nib. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ma akhtalaftum fi min shayin fa'ukmu ila Allah. Thalikum Allah rabbi alayhi tawakkaltu wa ilayhi unib. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in his dua in the Sahihain, the Sahih Bukhari, Muslim. Allahumma laka aslamtu. وَبِكَ آمَنْتُ وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْتُ وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْتُ. So this is what Allah described His messengers. And this is the highest point. The inaba muhsinin. May Allah grant us this level. You have to understand the people of the highest level of inaba, the inaba of muhsinin right here. The more one has inaba, the more the shaitan puts effort into them. The more the shaitan plots. You would think that otherwise. But it's the more the shaitan plots against these people. And Ibn Taymiyyah specifically mentioned this. He said, the shaitan plots against the people of inaba more than anyone else. And he plots against those who pray more than the ones who don't. And he plots against the people of knowledge more than he does the layman. That's the reason why sometimes students of knowledge, students of ilm, and worshippers get wiswas, and they get doubts. They get doubts more than what others get. More than others who don't follow the guidance. The ones who follow the right path get more wiswas than them. More whispers from the shaitan. Imam Ahmad in his Zuhd, in Abu Na'im in al-Hulya, in Ibn al-Qayyim in al-Wabil al-Sayyib, and Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned it throughout the fatwa. They narrated a story that someone went to Ibn Abbas. And he said, the Jews are teasing us. They say, we have khushu' in our salah and we feel no waswas. We have no doubts in our salah. Yet you believers have waswas. Ibn Abbas said, what does the shaitan want with a desolate house? With a doomed house, abandoned house? So Ibn Taymiyyah warned that among the most who get plotted by the shaitan are those who achieve the level of inaba. You gotta keep that in mind in this ibadah. It's normal for the shaitan to attack with doubts. The sahaba complained of this issue. What's wrong is for one not to resist it. The shaitan starts with small matters. If one doesn't overcome these small matters of doubts and resist them, they get worse and worse. Uthman ibn Abi al-As went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, the shaitan intervenes between me and my prayer and my recitation of the Quran and confounds me. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is the shaitan who is known as al-khanzab. That's his task. That's his duty. When you perceive its effect, seek refuge with Allah from it, and spit three times to your left. Uthman said, I did that, and Allah dispelled that problem from me. So if the Sahaba complained of the shaitan's waswas, of course, everyone after them is going to face something like that. Ibn Abbas, when he mentioned al-waswas al-khannas, he said, الشيطانُ جاثمٌ على قلبِ أحدكم. The shaitan squats on the hearts of the sons of Adam. When one is mindless of the remembrance of Allah, the shaitan does whispering. If he remembers Allah, the shaitan withdraws, khanas, from the whispering. That's why it's called al-waswas al-khannas. Those of inaba must be in constant remembrance of Allah at all times, because the shaitan is after them. Some get mild doubts, some get average doubts, some get extreme doubts. And some get them in the matters of worship. Some get them in the matters of belief. A man went to the faqih Ibn Aqil and he said, Imam, I take a dive in a pool tens of times. And every time I come out of the pool, I doubt whether I'm on wudu or not. Ibn Aqil said, go home, you don't have to make salah. He said, what are you talking about, Imam? He was trying to make a point right here. He said, what are you talking about, Sheikh? Oh, how come? He said, a man who dives that many times in the pool, and every time he gets out, he's doubting. He goes, keeps going back and forth, doubting whether he made wudu or not. He said, that's a mentally ill man. رُفِعَ الْقَلَمْ عَنْ ثَلَاثِ That pen has been lifted of three. And one of them is a mentally ill person, mentally insane person. What he meant is you need to stop that doubt. Otherwise, you're on the path of becoming insane. I elaborated on this point in Inaba longer than I should, because it's a matter Ibn Taymiyyah warned of, in particular to those of the level of Inaba. And also, secondly, it's among the topics I get a lot of questions on. Many people are suffering from this, and the longer you let it go without curing it, it gets worse and worse. It gets to the point of, like we say, someone becoming insane, or disliking the ibadah, or even, wal'ayadu billah, disliking Islam. You got to continue in remembrance of Allah, and you do isti'adha. And like in the hadith of Uthman ibn Abi al-As, and when waswas comes, try to think of different matters, whether maybe deen matters, or which is preferable, and or beneficial dunya matters, to get your mind off that waswas. You also, in addition to that, among the cures for it, in addition, is you say Amen to Billah. When you get your mind off of it, you say Amen to Billah. Sahih Muslim, Abu Huraira narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a person will continue to question until he asks, Allah created all things, but who created Allah? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever is confronted with such a situation should affirm his faith and say, Amen to Billah. La yazalu an-nas yatasa'alun hatta yuqal hadha khalaq Allah hul khalq, faman khalaq Allah, faman wajada min dhalika shay'in falyaqul Amen to Billah. And Nawawi commented on this hadith, said, it means when waswas comes to you, turn to Allah immediately and occupy your mind in other matters, because that's the shaitan coming at you. Remembrance of Allah is the best cure. Having the Quran and the adhkar on the tip of your tongue, and when you're not reading Quran and adhkar, everyone has a phone where they always could listen to Quran. It's a cure for that, and it's reward. And it's a purification for the heart. You can't listen to the instruments of the shaitan and then come complain, say, I got waswasa in my salah. Of course you can have it, because you were listening to the instruments of the shaitan. How do you expect to be cured of the waswasa of the shaitan? For those struggling with this, remember the sahaba faced this issue. And remember the reward for resisting it. You get reward for resisting it and fighting it. Abu Huraira said a group of Sahaba told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we perceive in our minds that which we consider too grave to even express and tell you. Meaning we can't even tell you, Messenger of Allah, what goes on in our mind, what goes through our mind. إِنَّا نَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِنَا مَا يَتَعَاظَمُ أَحَدُنَا أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ بِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you really perceive it? قال وَقَدْ وَجَدْتُمُهُ. You really perceive it? They said yes. He said, that is the faith manifest. He said, that is the faith manifest. ذَاكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. That's true iman. He didn't mean that the waswasa is iman. He meant the fact that they hated it and resisted it and considered it so bad that they didn't even want to mention it. Once they hated it and resisted it, then that is the true iman surfacing. That's manifest iman. That's what Ibn Taymiyyah warned of when you get to the level of inaba. And it, like we said, when you get to the level of inaba, the shaitan tends to come at you more. You have to shield yourself from the waswasa of the shaitan. The next point, how do we know inaba is different than tawbah? How do we know inaba is different than tawbah? Because Allah said about Dawood alayhi salam, فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابَ. Dawood, Allah's talking about Dawood, he said, he sought forgiveness, فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابَ. Then he fell down, prostrated, and turned to Allah in inaba. استغفر أناب. The first term Allah described Dawood alayhi salam, استغفَرَ رَبَّهُ. Then right after that, it's anab. I think in English translation, they consider both repent. And that's why it may be confusing. If they meant the same thing, it would be redundant or unnecessary to repeat it in the same verse in that context. The Quran is the perfected word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect. One may think and imagine. It's the word of Allah. He said he did istighfar, which is tawbah. And then he did inaba, which is a higher level. Because he mentioned both of them, because they have two different meanings. The next point. There's two kinds of inaba that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned in Madarij al-Salikin. And these two categories, or different types, is al-inaba al-rububiyya. This inaba is the inaba of all creation. Muslim, kafir, wicked and righteous. Doesn't everyone turn to Allah by force? Even atheists, everyone turns to Allah. Whether they acknowledge it or not, knowingly or unknowingly, everyone turns to Allah every moment. One, they turn to Allah for their heartbeat, for their provision, for their sustenance. In the verse, وَإِذَا مَسَّ النَّاسَ, another way that they turn to Allah, وَإِذَا مَسَّ النَّاسَ ضُرٌّ دَعَوْ رَبَّهُمْ مُنِيبِينَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah says, they turn to Allah, مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ. ثُمَّ إِذَا أَذَاقَهُمْ مِنْهُ رَحْمَةً إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. When harm touches a man, they cry sincerely to Allah. When something difficult or distressing happens, they turn to Allah, and he says, إِنَابَ مُنِيبِينَ دَعَوْ رَبَّهُمْ مُنِيبِينَ with inaba. They turn, who? Mushrikeen turned in inaba. How do we know that they're mushrikeen? Because Allah said in the following sentence, ثُمَّ إِذَا أَذَاقَهُمْ مِنْهُ رَحْمَةً إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Then, when he gives them a taste of their mercy, a party of them associates partner to worship it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, they associate partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means, he said they did inaba, but yet they are mushrikeen. So there's inaba of rububiyya. This is for all. Everyone turns to Allah one way or another. Even the mushrikeen were described as doing inaba. This inaba is not the special one. It's for everyone. Like the people who, when they get in desperate situations, they turn and say, oh Lord, oh God. That's the general type of inaba. Inaba rububiyya. The second type is al-inaba al-ilahiyya. This is the special inaba. This is the special inaba of the awliya of Allah. It's special for those who love Allah and Allah loves. This is different than the first one. This is the inaba of worship and love and hope. Inaba of worship, love and hope and fear of Allah. This inaba contains love of Allah. This inaba contains submission to Allah. This inaba contains turning to Allah fully. This inaba contains turning away from other than Allah. This inaba is the one does willingly and by choice when he hastens to repent to please Allah. He continuously turns at Allah at all times willingly and by choice. This inaba is the one we seek to achieve. It's the return of the heart from other than Allah to Allah alone. Because the heart can't turn to Allah and others. It only turns one way. So you turn to Allah and you give the heart, the back of the heart, to everything else. Let's go to the next point. Because I think there's no time. When is inaba shirk? when one repents to a grave or repents to a living human in that which he should only direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's not shirk in inaba, that's shirk in tawbah, because he repented. If he goes time and time again, then that elevates it from shirk in tawbah to shirk in inaba. A student of ilm should know these technical differences. That covers the meaning and differences of meaning of inaba and the differences between inaba and other ibadat and the levels and categories. Now, what's the difference between inaba and raghba? We said that, if you remember, part of the meaning of raghba is to continuously return to Allah. Well, we said inaba is continuous returning to Allah and repentance. So both inaba and raghba share the common denominator or the common meaning in one way of continuously and constantly returning to Allah. So what's the difference? There's a slight delicate difference, whereas raghba is continuously turning to Allah in liked or good or positive matters. Whereas inab is usually continuously turning to Allah in hardships maybe, or difficulties or bad situations, or from, for example, sins. Now our final point is the author used the verse as proof over here. The verse used as proof is وَأَنِيبُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Turn to Allah in repentance, in inaba, of course, to your Lord and submit to Him. Submit to Him. Turn to your Lord in inaba and submit to Him. There's an order to do inaba in this verse. The order, anibu, makes it ibadah. Once it's ibadah, it can only be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ordered it, that makes it a wajib, that makes it ibadah. It means that He is pleased with it, and that is the definition of ibadah, therefore it must be directed to Allah. As we took in every single proof that we took of each of the ibadah. Once it's ibadah, it must be directed to Allah. We mentioned before that there's two avenues to prove matters are ibadah. The general proof indicating ibadah must be directed to Allah. Plenty of verses in the Quran that ibadah should be directed to Allah in general, and given any portion of it to other than Allah is shirk. And then there's specific proof, as in this verse. It's a verse or a hadith that specifically mentions the ibadah, like wa'anibu. It specifically mentions the ibadah, and that it must be directed to Allah. So once it's ibadah, it must be directed to Allah. We spoke on this before. And here in this verse, it's the second avenue of proof. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. أَسْلِمُوا. أَسْلِمُوا here, submit. Submission to the laws of Allah are two types. كَوْنِي, submission, which is the submission by force. This, the first type of submission to Allah is كَوْنِي. This submission is the submission of all creation in that which they have no choice in. No one can depart from this type of submission. No one can be independent of this submission. This is the general submission that encompasses everyone and everything Allah created in the heavens and the earth. Believers, non-believers, righteous, wicked, this submission includes everyone. This submission, al-kawni, includes everyone and everything. In kullu man fi as-samawati wal-ardi illa ati ar-rahmani 'abda. There's none in the heavens and in the earth but who will come to Allah as a slave. This is the kawni submission. That's the verse. It means the kawni submission. Another example, another verse, submission in the Quran. وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ. Everyone in the heavens, in the earth, submits to Him willingly and unwillingly. And they will be returned to Him by force. This is the fourth type of submission, which everyone's included in it. This is the kawni. This is the first one. The second one is called submission to Allah, is the shar'i submission. It's a submission of obedience and willful following to the laws and regulations and prescriptions of Islam. This second one is the one by choice. The first one, there's no choice in it. It encompasses everyone. And everyone is submissive to Allah, must submit to Allah by force. The second type is an honorary one, and it's by choice. And it's not everyone. It's only the special ones who do this one. It's by choice. How? Whoever obeys Allah, whoever obeys the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follows the Quran in the guidance of the Sunnah, they did that by choice. They can make salah, they can neglect it in this world. So this is the shar'i submission. There's many proofs for this, and among the proofs of this is what the author used. وَأَنِيبُ In this verse that the author used is the shar'i submission. وَأَسِّمُ لَهُ It means the second type of submission, that shar'i submission to Allah. The honorary one, meaning follow what Allah has ordered you. Another proof for inaba, and there's many, we mentioned throughout this class many of them, but another one, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ In him I trust, and unto him I do inaba, which, like I say in English, they translate it as repent. And that's, inshallah, what I remember we talked about inaba in Ramadan, in the Ramadan classes, if you remember. It may have been the 8th or the 9th one. And if I recall correctly, we mentioned more of the spiritual aspects of it. But in the class, we mentioned, of course, that which pertains to the rules and regulations in Tawheed, part of it. So I was thinking we could do isti'ana and istighatha today, but we will, inshallah, do them bi'idhnillah next week. جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We have about maybe 10-15